Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. These are especially difficult times in the United States when it comes to matters of race and ethnicity. Thanks in part to former President Trump's cynical tolerance and encouragement of white supremacists, race-based hate crimes have spiked in recent years. Attacks on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders in particular, like the horrific murders in Atlanta last week, are up dramatically. Earlier this week, I got a chance to discuss this very troubling situation with the executive director of the group North Carolina Asian Americans Together, attorney Chavi Kanakaneru. As Kanakaneru told me, this is a real and complex crisis that demands a determined response from elected leaders. Well, Chavi Kanakaneru, welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into some very serious topics, I want you to at least take a second to let our listeners know about North Carolina Asian Americans Together. It's a group that's been on the scene for a while now doing incredibly important work, but some people may not know about it. So tell our listeners about what the organization's all about.
Yeah, so NCAT was formed in 2016 with a focus on increasing civic engagement in the Pan-Asian community across North Carolina. We are currently the only social justice organization for the Pan-Asian community, and our programs have expanded to include youth leadership work, community education and advocacy, and immigration assistance.
It's obviously a busy time and lots of challenging work for the organization to be on top of these days. And of course, at the top of the news right now is the tragedy that happened in Atlanta last week, shooting that took place, mass shooting, targeting Asian Americans. Talk to us about that and the fact that, unfortunately, the statistics show that this kind of violence and discrimination is rather rampant in American society right now.
Yeah, so what I'll start by saying is that NCAT is a community organization. We're here to support the community, but we're also members of this community. And so our staff, made up of Chinese, Vietnamese, Indian, Bangladeshi, Korean, Filipinx, and other ethnicities, was also directly impacted by what happened in Georgia and what's happened over the past year. And I think for us, for NCAT and the North Carolina communities, we first began to feel the impact of the rise of anti-Asian discrimination back in January of 2020, before the nation was really aware of the coronavirus and the pandemic. Locally, Asian American community festivals were being canceled. There was pressure put on community leaders by elected officials, and it was directed towards the East Asian community. And then over the past year, you know, that has increased into more violent attacks and crimes across the nation and also here in North Carolina.
It seems pretty clear to me that former President Trump's comments, where he kept referring to COVID-19 as the China virus, and his inspiring of white supremacists across the country, had to play a role in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all know Trump ran on a platform of division and appeal to white nationalist sentiment. But I think we also have to recognize that that xenophobia existed before Trump was in office. And what he did was tap into it and increase those racial tensions. But our country has a long history of discrimination and violence towards the Asian American community, like the Chinese railroad workers and Japanese internment and the rise of hate crimes against South Asians after 9/11 and after Trump was first elected to office. And in most of those cases, they're written off as not being racially motivated, though we all know that it is.
When we talk about racism, particularly targeting the Pan-Asian community, there's this notion that amongst many white Americans that, well, you know, I'm not a racist. I have a clean heart. So therefore, more people just need to be like me and everything will be all right. And instead, what they seem to ignore is the fact that so much of the racism that we see in our society is systemic. There are systems in place that really are rooted in a kind of racism and ignorance that many people aren't even aware of today or don't contemplate the fact that
There's systems that need to be changed. There's policies that need to be changed. It isn't just a matter of well-meaning people thinking good thoughts going forward. There's more to it to addressing these issues.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, because I think part of what leads to a lack of change is this denial in American culture, particularly from the white community.
One of the systemic solutions, that at least partial solutions, that's been identified recently is some legislation that y'all are supporting at the North Carolina General Assembly on the issue of hate crimes, right?
Yeah, so this is a bill introduced to the Senate by Senators Choudhury, Fauci, and Mohammed. And some of the things it would do is it would create a hate crimes database, which would collect information. At the moment, a number of agencies aren't required to report hate crimes, so this would make that a requirement. It would charge the State Bureau of Investigation to analyze hate crimes, and it would allow us and the general public to know the number of incidents that are actually occurring a year. I keep hearing in the news in particular that there haven't been very many incidents, or some agencies are saying, well, nothing was ever reported to us. And that is because both people in the community don't feel like they're going to get heard when they go to report hate crimes. We have anecdotal evidence of this. And also because the folks getting the reports don't understand what a hate crime is. And so this bill would also introduce training that would help law enforcement officers know how to interpret what a hate crime is, common fact patterns. And finally, it would expand protection. So it would add protective classes such as ethnicity, disability, gender identity, and sexual orientation.
Building a truly just and equal society is about more than criminal law. There are so many other kinds of public policies that address this issue or related to this issue, things like education, right? More complete education in our public schools, issues like housing discrimination, and even ultimately other issues of racism in America that relate, for instance, to African Americans. The issue of reparations has been discussed. Can you get into some of those topics as well? Obviously, crime and criminal justice issues are front and center right now, but really the ultimate solution lies in a broader approach to building a true melting pot. It would seem to me, anyway.
I would completely agree that there's problems in the structure, and the solution has to be holistic. One of the things you mentioned, education, and this comes up a lot in the Asian American community, is sort of the sense that the community doesn't care about education, public education in particular, and that it is not a high priority for our community. And we know that that's because of the model minority myth that paints all Asian Americans with the same brush, and this perception that we're all highly educated, when in reality, the majority of Asian Americans don't fall into that highly educated or affluent or kind of that image of success that model minority myth portrays. And there is a lot of people in the community who have lower education levels than any other groups of color, any other races.
It seems to me, obviously, that access to healthcare is a critical issue for members of the Pan-Asian community, because if you're talking about a huge part of the population actually being people of low income, being people who are maybe even immigrants who are struggling with immigration issues, they're being left behind by our society. And so there's obviously a policy need there as well.
Yeah. And so there's the obvious needs in terms of expansion of Medicare. But another need I want to kind of highlight that's specific to the Asian American community is language access. So a lot of times, and we've noticed this even more in the past year because of COVID, the Asian American community isn't able to access government resources, or in particular healthcare resources that do exist, because there's not translated material or any resources for interpretation. And those that do exist are some version of Google Translate that do not equate to a translation that would make sense for someone speaking that native language. And so that's really a problem across the board in North Carolina, where our community's language needs are not taken into account, and it prevents our community from getting the resources that we need. And then in addition to that is also both elected officials and agencies and policies in general not taking into account the needs of the Asian American community, which, as I mentioned before, are very diverse.
Tell our listeners about how they can learn more. You have a website, of course, and there's probably activities that people can get involved with, things they can support if they'd like to support these efforts of North Carolina Asian Americans Together. Where could they learn more?
Yeah, so they can look on our website, ncaatogether.org/events. We'll tell them about all the upcoming events. One that I want to raise up is phone dogging, just making calls to Congress together over Zoom to hold the Biden-Harris administration accountable in their first 100 days to create a clear pathway to citizenship for all immigrants. So we'll be doing that on March 30th and April 13th, and would be happy to have any volunteers who'd like to join us.
That's ncaatogether.org. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Thank you.
ncaatogether.org. Check them out. Chavi, it's been great talking to you. We know these are difficult times, and we thank you for your service to our community and wish you the best and take care. And hopefully the next time we talk, maybe we can discuss some positive news in this realm that's taken place.
I hope so. Thank you, Rob.
Coming up next, a conversation with two of North Carolina's most important advocates for criminal justice reform. Stay with us.